It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
All right, and away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, and he is back from assignment, and the crowd goes wild, my friend.
Yeehaw, man.
Mike Ward is back.
I am back, ready to go.
Good to see you.
I don't know where I'm back from, but I'm back.
Yeah, you are back, and you're back into this. So, on assignment, I will say, if you want to pick some weather, we talked to Jay Graddick and I were talking about it last week. For all the complaining we like to do, the weather, you think about, you can't get good hunting weather anymore. This year, you should be quiet on it. Yeah. The last 2 weeks, you should be quiet on it. We got, not only did we get snow, we got sustained cold.
Really cold. I mean, it's so cold where a lot of people didn't want to get out in it, period.
Well, believe me, the shooting houses and... get grief. I spent some time in a shooting house with a Mr. Buddy heater.
Yeah. Every one of my shooting houses got a Mr. Buddy heater in it.
They, and I don't run them unless it's that crazy cold like that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be after a snowstorm. If you get one of those real still mornings where it's 19 and it takes till 9:30 in the morning for it to warm up, those I'll fire up the Mr. Buddy, because I'm like, you know what? I've gotten old enough now. I have suffered. I did it the right way for 30 plus years, more than that. At 52, when it's 19, I'm going to put the heater on if I'm in a box.
Yep. Now, we was up to camp this weekend, my grandson and buddy his, and they were going to go hunting Saturday morning. And I said, well, now, we'll go, but I just want to let y'all know it's going to be 13 degrees in the morning. They said, we'll wait. we'll go tomorrow afternoon.
Maybe kids today are smarter than we used to be, because if you'd have told me it was 13, I'd have to go because it was 13.
Yeah.
It was more exciting.
But, really, what I find going when it's that cold, everything is froze up.
Absolutely.
And the deer are not typically moving. Of course, the rut changes that.
Correct.
There's no doubt about it. Now, that morning.
You just said everything I wanted to say. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, but they will move when it's that cold during the rut, just about only. And it's kind of funny. We went to one of the feeders before we hunted that afternoon. We were filling up the feeder. And I got three deer that come up to me while I'm feeding, putting the corn in.
Mm-hmm.
They'll come right up to me. I call one of them Susie. And
I thought you called one backstrap.
No.
One hamburger and one inside tenders. No?
No. But anyway, one of them I call Susie, and I just clap my hands and whistle a little bit and jiggle
that's the Marengo County deer. They'll come up to you and be fed.
But it's fun. They've been doing that for like 4 years. Mm-hmm. Same mm-hmm. Deer come. And anyway, so I was there, and I was whistling at her, and boy, here she comes. Man, I said, well, here she comes. Boy, she's really running fast, coming. Well,
was your buck behind
her? Buck behind her, yeah. She stopped for a second and looked at me, and then was coming. She took off.
Like, I'd like to visit with you, Mike, but right now I'm running.
Yeah, she heard me calling her, and she came, but she couldn't stop.
Wow. Did you see the buck?
The buck came right by us. I mean, during that time of year, they don't pay no attention to you. They just come right. That buck just came right on by us, and it was like five of us there. Had a couple other guys there, too, and six of us there, actually. And that buck never even looked at us. Yeah, he came right by us within, 20 yards or so.
Because you're not a doe. He doesn't care.
Yeah, no. He didn't pay no attention to us.
But what you said, and I said you said everything I was going to say, but it's worth, I know we got a lot of seasoned hunters here, but people may be new to, hunting deer, what Mike was talking about. I think it's very, very true. And we talked some last week about how did the snow reduce deer movement. I had some really good hunts during the snow.
Yeah.
I had some that were – but what you said about cold – I don't have a study from Mississippi State or anything. This is just me over the years.
And that's here in the South.
Yes.
Now, you get up north, it's a totally different game.
Yeah.
Because
they're used to it. Yeah, used to making it. And like I said, I go to Pennsylvania every year and hunt, and it's 14. But what I see here is during the rut, what you're saying is I went every morning because during the rut, on the really, really cold days we had, I wouldn't see doe movement or bucks with does, but I would see bucks cruising.
Yeah.
When it's super cold.
Yeah.
They were up and cruising, but you didn't see, and they were usually the younger bucks, but they were on their feet from as soon as you could see them on, but did not see deer really move until 9, 9:30. And it's the same thing if we didn't have a snowstorm or whatever. You get a big, that 19-degree or 21-degree morning. When there's frost on the plants, whether it be a green field or even to a degree in the clear cut or whatever, when that frost is there, I notice the does, not always, but they don't move until you start hearing the dripping going on and stuff. And then, and I don't know if they're just saving their energy going, hey, I don't want to be eating mouthfuls of ice.
Well, it's froze up.
Yeah, so
I mean,
I'm not
going to
even get up and move.
That's right.
Until I know I can go eat.
Yeah, a lot of them, I mean, they lay down and reserve their heat, too.
Sure, that's what I'm saying. So they make a judgment there. That,
yeah.
Now, you know, I always used to think, well, they're going to wait and lay down once the sun gets up and it feels good. You know, like you go lay out on the side of a hillside, but they actually start moving then.
That's what I have found, Sean.
Yeah, yeah, yes. And I have too. I mean, yes. And there may be some study out there, but this is just you and I talking that, like during the rut, when it's not the rut, I have been known to pull what your grandson and friends did and said, I'm not going to get out there until later because I just know the movement doesn't pick up until stuff starts melting. And I've gotten older and I like to sleep in. But the other part of it is, like you said, during the rut, it's true. It's like you had to shift change. During those real cold mornings when it's frozen, saw young bucks on their feet cruising. Definitely saw deer from daylight on, but didn't see anything really interesting until it started dripping.
Thawing out a little bit.
I shot a buck the other day. Shot the first buck I've shot
in
2 years.
Real nice deer, too. You sent me a picture of that, and we hadn't had a chance here yet to even talk about it.
That was 9:45 in the morning I shot that deer.
Yeah. After it thawed
out. After it thawed out.
Yep. They started
now,
moving.
I had seen, I think he was the 10th buck I'd seen that day.
Yeah.
And it was funny. It's like shift change. That first, the frozen up hours, saw the usual suspects. These bucks.
Those spikes, and 3 points, four points.
Even like small, sixes. And they were up going back and forth, looking for somebody, not finding anything. When it thawed, started seeing does, yearlings. And then from then on, the bucks were all not shooters, but a way better until the one I shot. They were better deer. And it was just like, even though they should be up on their feet, either they already have them, they know where the does are, or they've done this before, they know the does aren't moving, they didn't get up until the does got up.
Right.
And it wasn't that they were all following a doe in there. No, the does showed up at some point separately, and the bucks came from somewhere else, but they must have known, okay, now they're on their feet.
Yeah.
So it was like a shift change.
And then usually the afternoon hunt on a day like that usually is super good, where, you know, it's 38 degrees midday, and then at dark it gets back down to 30 or whatever. Now, that afternoon, usually the deer are just going crazy moving around till it freezes back up again.
Yep, and it's, I mean, it's just something to think about. It may be different on your place. All places
That's
are
right.
different.
Everything is different. And up, like I say, you know, up north, whether it's in Canada or Kansas or wherever places I've hunted, it don't make no difference. You know, if it's 10 below or 20 below or, you know, whatever. Now, what makes a difference is when it starts getting like 20, 25, 30 degrees, then the activity slows up. It's kind of like it's
Well, if you're wearing a fur coat all the time.
Yeah. It's like here when it gets up 60 degrees.
Sure. It's all relative.
Well, there, it's like when it gets up 25 or 30 degrees, that's warm up there.
Sure.
You know, to them it is.
Yeah, warm is warm compared to what the normal temperature is. It does. Yeah, you just got to figure it for different places, but it's been good. Like we talked to Jay last week, the number of bucks he came in, he predicted too that going forward off of last weekend, even though he had this big peak in number of bucks, he said the bigger bucks are going to come now.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to me too because, you know, I've said that my deer rut more like black belt deer. And I look through my logs and stuff. We kill a lot of deer 14th, and I know each year the calendar, but let's say the 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th of January.
Yeah.
That's when,
and that's right.
But what he's saying is, he sees more bucks come in there. But he said the way older age class bucks he thinks is this week that just happened, and probably still now.
Right. Yeah. And the boy that works with him up there, his name is Josh.
Yeah.
And he killed a real nice buck.
I saw a picture of that buck. Yeah.
Real nice buck. I mean, I held it in my hand. I mean, it was a beautiful buck. You know, it was a 130 something, 135 or something like that. Hey. Alabama, that's a shooter.
You got that right. Yeah. All right, coming right back with the conversation I had earlier in the week with Captain Kurt Tillman about tuna. It's a trophy tuna at that. We'll do that, and then we'll come back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors.
FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have y'all along. And as I mentioned, it's always great to catch up with this guy, all different seasons of the year. But to catch this guy on shore when the tuna are that big is something. I'm glad to have Captain Kurt Tillman on with us to talk about what Kurt, the pictures from the last week. I mean, last year you're catching giant yellowfin. Have you outdone yourself this year? I mean, how big are these tuna you're catching right now?
Man, we're catching fish just absolute giants. I call them magnums, but they are giants. And we've been having a good time with it, and they're out there right now, and the state record just got broke, and the boat was right on the other side of us when they done it. Bubba Rhodes, I think, got the new state record. And if you want to catch a fish of a lifetime, I mean, they're there. I mean, we had usually you might get one 200-pounder a year, maybe two if you're lucky, and most people have never even seen a 200-pound yellowfin. We've already caught four of them this year, over 200 pounds. I mean, so that's just, you know, it's turning out to be an excellent year in the Gulf of America.
That's right. Maybe the name change is what kicked it off. You know, maybe that's what happened. Maybe the tuna hit it. Well, now it's Gulf of America. Hey, big ones, come up there and bite.
No doubt. They're coming to America.
Love it. Okay, I want to go back for a second. So the state record was broken. Do you know how big that fish was?
237.
Jeez Louise.
And some change. Yep.
This is insane.
One of my buddies, Marty, they've been holding on to the state record, and he messaged me, and then I seen Bubba. I think that was on Cody's boat when they caught it out of Dolphin Island. Bubba and Cody's boat live over there, and they got really nice fish. And, you know, they were just there, and then you just got to be there when it happens. And like I tell everybody, man, it's the time to go. I mean, basically, it's like a trophy hunt. I mean, this place is crazy. I mean, one day they're firing off, the next day they might not be there. But if you need to go, if you have the opportunity to go with me or another charter, whoever you want to go with. But man, this is the time to go if you want to go and get a really big fish. I'd be happy to take whoever, you know. So if y'all get opportunity, y'all need to come on and go.
Hey, Captain Kurt, so you know, I mean, I love just talking about catching fish. I love to catch fish, but I'm a nerd as well. And so I always like to pick brains on people that, you know, are frontline like you. Why do you think it is this time of year? Why do you think it's those areas that you're catching so many? Because you're talking about the 200-pounders, but 150 and up are stacked in there. I mean, so why
now?
Yeah,
we've seen literally thousands of fish, but they're all feeding on pogies. They're all feeding on all these pogies that's coming out, all this bait's coming out. All these big fish are in there feeding on them. We've been catching them on poppers, on spinning reels, and man, these things, it is some more kind of fight to catch one of these fish on a spinning reel. And it's so justifying. If you're any kind of fisherman at all, people bass fish, they throw a little top water plug out there, and you know, if you see a fish jump up and hit it, man, it's just something about that. It's just, I mean, it's addicting, and it's one of the most funnest things you can do. And you actually catch a fish that's as big as you that can fight like nobody's business. And I mean, man, just getting to see, just getting out there and getting to see all these big old fish jumping up in the water. If you look at like Captain Kurt's charters, you're going to see a video on there. It's fixing to be a YouTube video out in a few days. And Big John Shark Fishing in Pensacola went with me, and you'll have to check that out. I'm going to share that to my page and my Instagram, and I'll have to send y'all a thing of it too. And it's so exciting, and I get excited every time because, man, at any minute when all these fish are feeding on everything, and there's sharks and there's all kind of stuff out there trying to eat all this bait, but, man, when you see one of them big tunas just bust on your popper, and a couple of them videos, you'll see where they almost get it, or they get, you know, they almost hit it two or three times, and then they just blow up on it. And, man, it's just, when he gets on there, it's no stopping that fish for a while. I mean, he's screaming drag off of it, and it's, it's just game on, man. Game on.
I don't know which one it is. I'm excited and scared at the same time. I think the biggest tuna I've ever caught on a spinning reel throwing poppers is like 60 pounds, and it was all I wanted.
Oh, yeah.
Now we're talking about – but you think it's – so these – I mean, the fish are obviously – they're in the Gulf somewhere maybe year-round, but – you don't, I mean, you catch tuna year round, but you don't have stories like it's every year around this time you start talking about the 200 pounders like this. This isn't, I mean, there's something going on here that's different, right? In what you do.
Yeah, all these big fish come up in there and feed this time of year. And I mean, it's been happening for as long as I can remember going to the midnight lump. For whatever reason, the fish changed and started coming over closer to our side. And another thing they're doing is, I mean, we're catching them. I mean, people, I know a lot of people go to, you know, Venice and fish out of there and different things. But, man, you're not going to believe how close these fish are getting. Everything seems like it's shifting more to the east. I mean, we've been catching these fish 45, 50 miles south of Dolphin Island in 160-foot of water. And
wow.
These fish are they're just right out here. I mean, so, you know, if you're thinking about going tuna fishing, I mean, now's the time. I mean, they're catching them a little, you know, most of the time we run out to the horseshoe. Some people call them the lumps, but it is a little hump out there or whatever, but I call it the horseshoe.
Yeah, and then there's some natural bottom.
Some natural bottom over to the other side, 10 or 12 miles, and they've been showing up on there the last couple of years pretty good too. And actually the bite was better over there last year than it was on the horseshoes. But man, these fish are just right off the house right now, and it's an excellent time to go tuna fishing just south of Dolphin Island.
So back to my nerd part of it. Why do you think this is happening? Because it used to be, you had to go to Midnight Lumps, had to go to Venice. Now there's these fish that might have in the past been over here now. I mean, is there something different the way the pogies are coming out? Or I mean, what's your, like, when you look at this and go, why did that happen?
Man, I don't know that it hasn't been happening before, and just, you know, people just haven't been going. You know, I'm one of the only ones that run tuna charters over on this side, and I think that, you know, people just hadn't really been looking for them in these areas, and maybe there's just more bait coming out of our side, or maybe something's changed. I mean, surely now that Trump fixed the global warming thing in just a few days in office. Did y'all see all that snow?
Yes, right. That's right. And at the same time, he made the tuna shift more towards Alabama.
Right. So, I mean, good things is happening, you know, so. I really don't know what it is. I think it's just the bait. We got a tremendous amount of bait. Even coming in, we've been running around West Point. And even coming in yesterday, I mean, it was bait all the way. I mean, we're marking big pods of bait all the way up, all the way in, you know. And those fish are just, they're just moving closer to the bait, you know. And even last year, some of the guys in Venice said they come out Octavia
Pass,
which is, a pass on this side, and caught them right off Chandelier out there in 70 foot of water. So
that's,
I think,
not
that
to the uninformed like me, I mean, who just go occasionally blue water fishing, that's not supposed to happen. They're not supposed to be in 70 feet of water, Kurt. They're not supposed to.
Yeah, and like you said, the crazy thing is they don't usually don't catch. You can go out there and fish them rigs. I mean, you're lucky. You're really lucky if you catch a fish over 150 pounds any time during the summer out there at them rigs. You know, this year they had a little exception. They caught some really nice fish during the rodeo, and they were, you know, right around Ram Powell and some other rigs. They caught some really nice fish this year that was, you know, some fish that broke 200 pounds was kind of unheard of, you know what I'm saying, as far as just catching them out there.
Growing up, you remember if a 130-pound tuna came up into the rodeo back in the day, that was and people gathered around him.
Yeah, but in the past, I went down there and fished the midnight lump, and they always caught big fish over there, but, you know, and that's on the other side of the river over there, but all those big fish, it seemed like, and I'm sure there's probably still some that show up over there. I don't know. I don't hear much about it, but you know, it seems like all the fish are just right now. I know where they're at. They're over here on this side, and there's a lot of them, and they're just big. They're bigger than normal, and I wouldn't be surprised if somebody catch. I mean, we seen giant fish out there, and there was hundreds of thousands of these big fish feeding out there the past week or so.
Well, last year. You told me, you and I talked, I don't even know on the air, you know, I was talking, yeah, said you saw one that was the biggest tuna you've ever seen.
Yeah, we had a 225 and a 196 in the boat, and there was a fish beside the boat while we was trying to get the other one. I'm talking literally 10 foot away. And I'm not exaggerating. I mean, the fish was, it was so much bigger than the other fish. I just lost concept of how big the fish were we had till we weighed them, because I was thinking, damn, if we could have got that fish, he would have been a, you know, that would have been a 200 pounder. And we got in and weighed this other fish, and I was just like so overwhelmed at how big this other fish was that was beside the boat that we didn't get an opportunity to catch. I mean, I think he was 270 pounds. And I think there's an opportunity to catch at least a 250-pound fish out there, because you see fish that just they're just giants, man. You see all these giant fish everywhere, and they're coming clean out of the water. I'm talking just shooing, the whole bodies come out of water sometimes, and you're like, holy moly. So, I mean, the ones we're getting, and they, like I said, they just broke the state record, potential state record, and pretty sure it will be, and you know, they're there, and it's just, it's something to see. And it's, like I said, if you got the opportunity to go, now, great time. You need to get out there and try it.
Yeah, I want to ask you something here. So this is maybe for people listening like me that say, man, I want to take this trip. This is, you know, want to go tuna fishing, and here's the guy, Captain Kurt, telling me this is the time to go. You could look at the pictures and see what's happening. Give me an idea, and we're talking about the new boat too, which is cool, but give me an idea, what's a day like? You know, I know people can call you, and they'll call you and get their trip lined up, but say we're going tuna fishing. Give me, what do I expect?
All right, well, first thing, you need to wear some warm clothes because it's been cold out there. But we try to get away at 5 o'clock. Get down there about 4:45. Get everybody loaded up. We want to get over there closer to daylight. Sometimes we leave at 4:30, but we take off and run around West End and just go. Run straight out there, and we just look for some birds or some fish hitting on top of the water, and we see that, we just run over to it, and hopefully there's some fish feeding on top of the water, and start throwing poppers at them, and put some jigs down if we see them a little deeper or whatever. But we've mainly just been getting sharks on all the jigs here lately. But and you just got to keep throwing, and sometimes you're not going to see these fish busting on top of the water, but if you see bait or birds, you need to just throw that. Don't quit throwing, because we've caught so many where there's just not a fish there at that certain time, but there's so many fish in the area that, hey, and you'll see them all coming out of the water all over the place, but you don't necessarily have to be right on top of one to catch it, because they're just, you're not only marking these fish, they're so close to the top of the water, that's where they're feeding, and they're not really swimming down. I mean, it's not like they're
side to side more than up and down.
Yeah. So you're not really going to be more, you're not marking them on the meter. You're just seeing all the activity. So that's what you need to be looking for. And I'm going to be the ones, you're going to be laying on a beanbag or sitting back in a chair, and I'm going to be hollering at y'all to get up and grab a pole. And we're going to be 50 mile an hour. When I see them, we're going to jump into warp mode.
It'll be time to go. Well, it's time to get on. So, and throwing poppers, are you doing, is it just all popper fishing? You doing anything, you putting any kind of chunks down or anything, or just all poppers?
We caught 90% of them this year on poppers.
Wow.
I mean, down. And you need to have, you need to have really big, you don't have to have a long leader, but you need some potential 200 pound, 125 to 200 pound leader. mono leader, a little short piece of leader in case he swallows it so he won't chafe it out, and make sure you got some really strong hooks, and just get, and if you catch them in open water, you have a chance of getting that fish in. If you catch that fish on a popper on a lump, so that on the 24s, that natural bottom over to the west, you're going to have an extremely hard time. And the guys are catching some over there, but the sharks are so bad. There's big sharks, especially over there on that 24 bottom. There's a good bit of bait over there, so those sharks are hanging out. Almost impossible to get that fish up on a spinning reel to put that much heat on him. You could, some people's caught them on some ballyhoo, trolling around ballyhoo, because you can put some heavy leader and stuff like that on the ballyhoo, and you could put, you know, 35, 40 pound of drag on a reel and hurry up and crank that fish in. But if you get one that's not feeding on a pogie ball, like off that natural bottom or the lumps, you got a lot better chance of getting him in. But if you catch one, we lost 9 in a row, Giants, last year to sharks. And fish breaking because you see these big fish eating, and you got about 15 minutes before that fish starts getting tired. And as soon as he starts getting tired, guess what? Sharks eat him. So, you know, it's one of them things. Sometimes you can hook them, and you just, it's so frustrating to have a day like that when every time you get a big one on, they get 8, and you just don't know what to do about it. But, you know, all the charter guys are trying to, you know, try to find a way around it. You just got to put those fish on some extremely heavy tackle and get them in. You know, in a hurry. And, but there's a lot of fish out there. It's really exciting.
And how long, I mean, we're talking about kind of the day you got started. When,
we do a 12-hour trip.
Okay. Yep,
we run out there. It's pretty much a straight up 12-hour trip, 12-hour trip. We usually get back to the dock, we leave at 5 and get back about 5.
Okay.
4:30, 5 o'clock. And it's the weather's been kind of marginal, rough one day. It seemed like it's rough either going out or coming in or something here lately. But we got some really good days coming up. Sunday and Monday look really well, you know, okay. Like really great days. But looks like we'll have some fair weather in between. Usually we get a front and it lays out like slick concrete, and but it hadn't been like that this year.
That's the day I want, the mill pond day. So tell folks too, I mean, obviously they can go anything Captain Kurt out there on social media, but the best way to get a trip booked and talk to you about what day and how many people they're bringing, all that kind of stuff, how do they reach out to you?
Yeah, you can call me at 251-288-1003. Look me up on Facebook. You'll see Captain Kurt's Charters. There's a little link on there. You can click on Fishing Chaos and go on there and book your trip or look at the open dates. You can also go to Instagram at Captain Kurt T, and on there it also links you to a booking page. It's the Fishing Chaos page. You can just click on the Fishing Chaos thing right there and just look up Captain Kurt's Charters and get it booked. And we'd love to take y'all and go catch some fish and have a good time.
You got that right. Captain Kurt, get back after it. We'll talk again soon.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
All right. There he goes, Captain Kurt Tillman, Captain Kurt's Charters. Go look at the pictures we're talking about. Just monster tuna. Just, and not just one. It's incredible. Incredible. Take part in it. All right. Coming right back. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. Big thank you to Kurt Tillman. So I had to have him check in earlier in the week because the tuna he's catching, he's pretty much booked.
Unbelievable the size of the tunas that they're catching, Sean. They are monsters. Of course, this is the time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
There's a period between you know, January and really about March mm-hmm. that the Giants show up out there.
And they are Giants. Yep. You heard in the interview, a record, possible record setter. And in that interview as well, I talked to him about that tuna he saw last year. And it's not just somebody saying it. It's like if you would say it or Kurt Tillman would say it, who'd seen so many big fish, for him to say he thinks there's tuna, like they've seen there like 270.
Oh, yeah. He said it was a monster that he lost last year at the boat.
And they're catching them, you know, as he said in the interview, they're catching them on poppers.
Poppers, yep. On spinning reels and poppers.
And as I said to him, I say, I think the biggest yellowfin I ever caught on poppers, like 60, 65 pounds. And that was a lot.
That's a killer.
And then I start thinking,
that'll wear you out.
And then you start talking about a 200 pounder. I'm like, I want to go badly, but I'm going to be probably, okay, there's my tuna. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done. We'll sit down in the beanbag chair for about 2 hours.
You know, one of the biggest problems with catching a big fish like that on a spinning reel is the time that it takes you to get the fish up and boat him, and that length of time a shark can.
Yeah, he talks about how they have to crank everything down to keep the sharks. He said the sharks are so bad.
Yeah, I mean the sharks are terrible out there. I mean, I saw a video the other day of a boy that was out there and tuna everywhere, but they couldn't catch one because the sharks kept hitting mm-hmm. the plug. You know, and it's just.
But he's saying, yeah, and like you said too, when that gear that you could land that tuna, it's not like it's not big enough to land the tuna, but you can't do it super fast.
That's right.
That gives the shark enough time.
Time to follow that tuna and get on that tuna. And sharks are fast.
Yeah.
I mean, tunas are fast, but sharks are really fast. And they lose a lot of tuna out there to sharks.
You know, one of the things he picked up in the conversation too is that they sometimes pull off of the main bunch of pogies.
Yeah.
Like, here's the spot. That looks really good.
Yeah, pogies everywhere.
Right.
Screwed up.
But there's so many sharks there that he might pull out and away from it a little bit because there's still some tuna out there.
Yeah.
And you're not as close to the, you know, but it gives you sometimes a better chance of a shark not finding that tuna.
Right.
Because maybe the sharks are distracted by the pogie ball or whatever.
That's right.
And then, you know, you get some. I just know what he tells me and you tell me. So, you know, I am excited. And, you know, I started thinking about this too. The grind of that. So I ask him, you know, about what a normal day is out there, you know, 5 to 5 kind of day. Well, think about how tiring that is, you know, going to do that and catch tuna for your charter trip. Imagine if you're Kurt or his other captains, and it's this time of year and everybody wants to go and big tuna, and you're doing it every day. And I know Kurt's in shape, but I don't care.
Yeah.
The sleep, when your head hits the pillow, it must, after about day three of that,
a killer.
Son, that's work.
You know, people have always asked me, man, you ought to be a charter boat captain. You ought to do that. There's no way in the
world.
When
you go with Mike, you're going, like people who, you know, Mike will invite me and say, you can bring somebody. And I call my buddies. I said, listen, we're going with Mike. That means we're going all day. And when we say all day, we mean all day. You're going to be there. It's going to be dark when we leave. It's going to be dark when we're home. You
that's
know,
right.
It's going to be.
Yep.
But yeah, if you did that every day.
I mean, and then you got a different set of people every day.
Yeah.
I mean, what's a bad thing that I've seen on these charters is these people come from Birmingham, Atlanta, or wherever, mm-hmm. Tennessee, or whatever, come down here. And the night before, they all fired up. They all drinking and partying and having a big time. They get on the boat, start drinking right off the bat. And then about the first couple of hours, they're throwing up the rest of the day.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, there's,
I've seen a lot of that. Yeah. Now, I'm not going to say they all do that, but I've seen a lot of that. So you got to put up with that and deal with that every day, too. Or not every day, not every trip, but a lot of trips.
Mm-hmm.
If you have 10 trips, probably 5 or 6 of those are going to be mm-hmm. some partiers that come mm-hmm. down. And that's hard to deal with. Not only the fishing part, but dealing with them, you know, being miserable and throwing up and some of them wanting to go home because they feel like they're going to die and, you know,
I mean,
you're 100 miles offshore. And,
so it is like Mike said, I agree with him. We could sit back, those of us that like to fish, and say, man, to be a blue water captain would be great. Go meet some of these blue water captains and see what they got to do.
That's
a rough life.
It's a tough life. They do pretty good financially on some of them.
If I could have, like, win the lottery or something, have the money where I could just book one trip a week on the day I want.
Oh, that'd be okay.
I'd be good. We'd do a 12-hour trip. We'd be fine. And then I would just rest up the rest of the week.
That's
but
right.
If I have to go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, oh, my God.
Yeah. And you know, he's booked.
Good
up.
On y'all captains out there. I know if you listen, good on y'all. That's a... It's a heck of a thing.
Well, even the inshore people.
Absolutely.
You know,
all day long in the sun.
A lot of times they get up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
They,
You know, they got to, or maybe even earlier on some of them, because a lot of them got to go get the bait, get everything ready. Yep. So when the charter gets there, the group get there, they're ready to go fishing before daylight, especially speckled trout fishing. I mean, they want to be there on the water where they're going to be fishing when the sun starts popping up. So, and then they, but they don't fish all day. They fish to about 11, 12 o'clock, most of them.
It depends,
But that's that's a full day for them.
Yes.
Because they've been up since 3 o'clock.
And now they got to clean the boat and get everything ready for the next day.
That's right. Because another group's coming.
Tell you this, I can't speak of all the captains I'm buddies with. I know they have that early start like you talk about and their grind. But one in particular, my longtime friend, your longtime friend, Captain Bobby Abrascato, don't call him past 8 o'clock, really not past 7.
Yeah.
So he runs those days, but about 7:30, Bobby Abrascato, it's bedtime. like if he has an off day and where he's not fishing, we're just going to hang out or do something like that. You need to start patterning the day that you're going to wind it up about 5.
That's right.
That's about, and then he's going on to bed. But that is a great thing. Hey, listen, whether you can grab it, you charter with Captain Kurt or somebody else, or you got the boat to do it, what a time to be going and catching just, like I think he said at one point, it's the trophy hunting of tuna right now.
I've got an issue with one of my motor. My cowling's cracked right now, but as soon as I get that cowling back.
You going?
Me and you going.
Okay. I'm game.
We're going to go. We're going to go tuna fishing.
Okay.
It's time for us to go catch a big tuna.
Yeah. Well, it's happening.
We keep saying we're going to do it, and this is the time of year to do it. We get the weather right. Like this past week, there was a couple of days this past week that
they're
was good.
Always, you know, and they're always on a Tuesday.
Sunday and Monday, it looks like it's going to be okay, too.
Right.
To go. But you got to get those days. I'm not going when it's 3 foot, 4 foot. I'm not
going. Or like you can see when the front's come, 8 foot.
Yeah. No, I'm going to go when it looks like we got a good 2 or 3 days of that 1-2 foot seas, and I'm ready to go.
You can say if you're going to go when it's like above threes. Now Mike's boat's a lot bigger than mine, Hansel's better, but if you're going to go, this is what 4 decades of fishing the Gulf has done for me. If you're going to go when it's, you know, 4, 5, 6 foot seas, save yourself the gas money. Walk outside to your boat, okay? Y'all do this. Grab every rod from the holder, throw it on the floor. Every hatch, open it up and sling all the stuff out of the hatch onto the floor. Everything, have your cooler slide from where it's anchored somewhere into the back of the boat and break something.
Yeah.
You just go ahead and kick a hole in that. Do all that and then save yourself the gas money and go back inside.
Yeah. I've gotten too old for that. Used to. I would do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It wouldn't matter. You know,
you're going.
3, 4, 5 foot. A lot of times I'd just suck it up and go. I'm not doing that anymore.
Well, and it's, number one, just hardly being able to stand up and fish is a pain. But number two, like I said, I think about the times I've broken the most stuff on my boat. I'm like, I shouldn't have gone that day.
That's right.
Somebody falls into this. This gets, it's like I said, just walk outside and break all the stuff in your boat and you'll realize what that experience is like and you won't even have to pay for gas.
I think it might have been the last time that me and you went. It was supposed to be calm.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, it was rough.
Mm-hmm.
And that day I beat my back to where it took me almost a year to get over my back bothering me. And now I'm good, but it took me almost a year to get over that, Sean.
You need to ask our friend in common, Jason Smith, what we did to his boat on his first trip out when it was way rougher.
His new boat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We took it out, and it was rough.
Yeah. But with a new boat, you got to go.
I told you.
You can't sit back.
It was so rough. I called off. We came coming back here. We were probably 35, 40 miles offshore and came up on a full tree floating with triple tail all over with blackfish on it. And after he's like, man, I don't catch it. I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah.
And we're not going. We're not going to keep fishing. We're going in. We've broken everything on this boat. We've taken, you know, when the wave washes so high into a boat, it threatens the speakers on the boat.
Yep.
I said, let's go into the house.
Yeah.
All right. Coming right back. More of FM Talk, 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. You know, speaking of dealing with rougher water, bigger boats deal with rougher water better. This is a segue. Follow me here. Segue into Heads up, I know it seems like, man, we just got through Christmas, but yeah, Mardi Gras is on the way, and so is the Mobile Boat Show.
Yep.
March 14th through 16th. So it's on.
And then Biloxi Boat Show.
Mm-hmm. Usually it's before that, I think.
Well, a lot of times it's after it, but I think this year, I believe it's before that.
Okay, I just have the Mobile Boat Show, though. It's March 14th through 16th.
And then the Miami Boat Show is in February the 12th through the 16th, I think.
Well, we can't all go to the Miami Boat Show, Mike.
Well, I'm not sure I'm going, but I want to go.
Yeah.
And me and Mark Candy was going to go, but Mark backed out on me, so I don't know if I'm going to go. I don't want to go by myself. And Dylan wants to go, but he's got to go to school, so I want
to
go.
I'd like to see that
blast down there.
Hey, Granddad, why don't you write the excuse for school? My grandson cannot be at school because he's at the Miami Boat Show.
Yeah. They might go with
that. I mean, usually it's like, we have the passing of a relative, we have a family event, you know, and family event is Granddad and grandson are going to the Miami Boat Show.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Okay. You can get an education down there.
That's right. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of educating. I've seen the pictures of some of the ladies that work at the booths down there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's
a lot of education.
Too. Yeah.
A lot of education going on.
Well, no, that'd make you motivate the kids to want to go to school and make good grades so they make a lot of money to buy one of those boats.
Oh, I thought you were talking about to get one of those girls. Yeah, yeah, some.
Yeah, well.
That too.
They're going to have to get a big education and job for that.
That's right.
Yeah, that boat ain't that expensive.
But a reminder, too, Guides Corner coming up again this year. So we have the best in the world of freshwater guides, inshore saltwater and offshore guides hanging out. Of course, my problem is, like we just talked this week to Kurt Tillman, we need to really hope for some real rough days so he'll be in with us, because that's a tough thing. When we, like last year, getting Kurt in is good, but he's like we talked about, he's just fishing hard. Just, you know, this time of year. But yeah, that's going on the 14th through 16th, so be ready to come out and see us at the boat show. And I just made the order this last week. I was down to two of the buckets.
Oh man,
the rope handle, if y'all haven't seen our rope handle with a throw handle on the bottom. Boat buckets or whatever buckets with the FM Talk 106.5 logo on them. Just made the order. Got more coming, so we'll have some at the boat show.
Awesome, because I've got several of them, and I love them.
Yeah, so if you need one and I don't have, then you need to just get with Mike and say, hey, Mike, how about letting go of one of those buckets?
Nope, it ain't going nowhere. Okay. Stayed at my house. I love it.
Just point that out.
Also, you can't have enough 5-gallon buckets anyway.
Not this kind. Yeah. You know, they're just better buckets.
Yep, they are. There's no question about it. They are better.
They're better than the regular bucket. Also, I just want to inform my friend Mike, even though, like, we're talking to y'all. You know, I told you, first day of the new year, I heard turkey gobbling.
Right.
I've now, 4 more hunts, I heard turkeys gobbling.
Man.
Even when it was cold.
That's early.
Just saying.
Yeah, but it is almost February.
That's right. Just wanted to say.
You know? Right.
So, I'm jinxing myself. I just wanted to go ahead and jinx myself.
Yeah, I'm waiting on turkey season.
Me too, brother. Me too. Yeah. We'll talk more about that on next week's show. Y'all have a great one.